It's August 16th. Welcome to episode 1 of PC Podcasting, coming to you straight from the cave in Allen Park, Michigan. And this broadcast is in connection with August 16th post on pcpodcasting.blogspot.com. I'm here with Matt Byers, and we're going to talk about podcasting a little bit, then we're going to go into advantages of Pocket PC over a Palm, and then we'll get into some Big Ten football. Podcasting has become quite a popular item, Matt, and why is it, what is it about podcasting that fascinates you?
I think the thing I like best about it is you can have these pretty large files that can automatically be synchronized to your MP3 player or iPod, and you don't have to go through all the hassle of picking and choosing what you want to download each day, but they can automatically be put on your hard drive and then eventually on your MP3 player.
When we talk about podcasting, what we're really talking about is an audio version of an RSS feed. When you have a blog aggregator, a news aggregator that pulls down RSS feeds of blogs, podcasting is basically doing the same thing with audio. And you don't have to have an iPod, even though iPod is kind of the standard. It's the one that's looked upon as being, you know, the greatest, the one that's out in front of everybody, and it's kind of become a status symbol. But Matt, you don't use an iPod, but you're able to podcast anyway, right?
Yeah, I can podcast directly to my computer. You can do that with iTunes or several other different programs, and then from there you could then sync up with your Rio, or if you got a Dell jukebox or something else, you can sync up to a location where those MP3s are then stored.
Now, what we're doing right now is we're recording, actually, on two different PCs, and then we're going to compile the audio. You can do it a number of different ways. We're going to be testing with Skype to record conversations, and I believe there's several people that are already doing that, so we're going to test that and hopefully have some input from some of you out there. Once we record it and get the MP3 finished, we're going to upload it to a storage location, and then we will host it, and then we have to have a feed. So there's that those four components that we're looking at. So you can record using any number of software packages, and we'll talk about that in just a second here. Once you get your file recorded, then you upload it to a storage location, someplace that's going to hold your file. And we're using ourmedia.org, and the link will be on the blog. You create an account with them and an account with archive.org, and they store your audio, your video, as well as they have a place there where you can make posts. And then for our host to actually host the feed, you could do it through our media, but we're going to use blogger.com because of some other features that it has. And so we're actually hosting it at blogger.com, and that's where our posts will go that will accompany the recordings, and then also that's where the feed will come from. And then we're propagating that feed. We're sending that out to iTunes or any other software that you would use to download your podcast. And we're using FeedBurner for the feed. Now, all three of those things could be accomplished at one place. And that you can do that through our media. There's some other places that you can do it at that might cost a monthly fee. Our media and archive.org at this point are free. It's all open source. They're trying to get a lot of people involved into that. So those are the four components. You record it, you store it, you host it, you feed it. And that's basically it when it comes to podcasting. When we get into Pocket PC versus Palm, there seems to be, in some people's mind, the idea that it doesn't really matter. It's all preference, which one you want. But there are definitely some advantages to having one over the other. And I'm going to ask Matt to comment on some of the advantages of Pocket PC over Palm.
One of the nice things about having a Pocket PC is, since it is a derivative of Microsoft Windows as far as the OS, you're able to communicate much easier with Windows-based computers. You're able to use Pocket versions of Word and Excel and interact with other Microsoft products very easily. It basically is a handheld version of a computer and allows you to do many of the same things that you can do on a computer, whereas a Palm is basically a souped-up organizer. It allows you to keep track of contacts, your calendar, and so on and so forth, but it still has to sync either with proprietary software or through some hooks. It's able to sync with some Microsoft products, but still, you've got to factor in the fact that you've got Microsoft trying to work with a third party, and you can have lots of different problems. I kind of like what you talked about the other day as far as using even your MP3 player now to be able to sync up with your Outlook and so forth. I think there'll be another generations of PDAs more in line with either MP3 or maybe they'll be your phone, and then you'll be able to sync up. But the real issue is, how well does it communicate in the Microsoft world? If it can't communicate well or if it's hard to set up, people won't want to use it.
Do you think the Palm is going to phase out? Do you think it's going to leave entirely?
I think probably they're going to have to figure out another market for their operating system. I think they're going to have to move towards maybe a phone or something else that can run, that needs a smaller amount of memory and can run like a phone where it doesn't have much memory. But I think the handheld version of a Palm OS is probably going to go away just because the Pocket PC operating system is just so much better.
I think we both kind of got our start using a handspring visor. The thing that really attracted me to that was that you had the expandability. But Pocket PCs have taken that even a step further and have used traditional media such as smart SD cards and compact flash cards, things that you'd use already in your MP3 player or in your digital camera. So it really seems like they've kind of taken Springboard's idea or Handspring's idea and really gone a lot further with it. I think I agree as far as Palm kind of moving off into the phone market that way. Probably there's still some people out there that are going to hang on to it. They can't live without it just because they're used to it, or there's some software that they've got on it that they can't find for Pocket PC. But as we go on further generations, I don't see Palm really having much of a market. I'd like to go into Big Ten football, and we kind of got a clash here. We live in Michigan. Neither one of us are real big Michigan fans. Matt, you're a Northwestern fan, and I'm a Buckeye fan, so we're kind of out of our realm here a little bit. I'm going to ask Matt to go through his picks for Northwestern season, then I'll give you my picks for Ohio State's season, and then we'll comment on Michigan, and we'll be done today.
Well, we're looking here at the Northwestern football schedule. They open the season at home against the mighty Ohio, not Ohio State, just Ohio University. I think that will be a win for them early in the year to get them off to a good start. So right there, we're 1-0. Next, they move on to Northern Illinois. Again, not a powerhouse. Probably another win for Northwestern, especially with their returning senior quarterback. Then we move to several other games. Arizona State, which is away, that's probably an early loss for them. Penn State looks a lot stronger this year. That will be a tough game. Wisconsin's going to be a tough game. Then they play Purdue at Purdue. Michigan State up at East Lansing with their tough quarterback. But then they host Michigan. Then they host Iowa. Then they play at Ohio State and Illinois. After those first two wins, I think if you look down the road, they're going to be able to squeak out another two wins. So I'm looking at about a 4-7 record. I think they can upset a team like Penn State, and I wouldn't even be too surprised if they upset some of these other teams. And they finish out the year with a fairly easy game against Illinois, their big rival in state.
Ohio State opens up against Miami of Ohio. I see that as an easy win. Then their next game is against Texas, and I see that as an early loss. Don't really see how we can match up against Texas. Our big loss is Mike Nugent, of course, and so I really don't see us standing up against Texas. The offense that we've put up in the last couple years has really not been all that impressive, and I really don't know that our defense is going to be able to stop Texas totally. So I really see them defeating us. San Diego State is our third game. I see that as a win. Iowa's going to be a tough one. They're usually very strong. They've been strong the last couple years. But I see Ohio State beating them since it is in Columbus. Then we go on the road against Penn State. Even though I think Penn State's a lot tougher this year, I see us beating them in their home field. Then I see us beating Michigan State back in Columbus. Then we travel to Indiana. I see us winning there. And then I see us losing to Minnesota. We're playing in Minnesota, and I just have this feeling that we're going to lose to them. Usually when we go on a big winning streak, it's inevitable that we lose against, you know, a mediocre team if we're playing on their field, similar to what happened last year against Northwestern. Just have to throw that jab in real quick. Then we got an easy win against Illinois. Then we play Northwestern. Fortunately, it's in Columbus, And that, even though I see us winning that game, I see that as being a difficult game, mainly because we lost last year and because the focus is going to be on the following week in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, in the Big House. I see us losing to Michigan this year. Really have very little confidence in our team overcoming Michigan. So I see us overall at 8-3. Wouldn't be surprised if we ended up being 7-4, though. There's a lot of places in there where I'm sure I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to say overall 8-3 record. And as the season goes along, we might see if we have to adjust our predictions a little bit. We'll see what happens with that. Matt, why don't you go ahead and comment on where you see Michigan this year, what kind of season you think they're going to have.
Well, we've looked a little bit at the Michigan schedule. Of course, they have a quarterback that was very young last year that's returning, a young running back that's returning. They did lose a good wide receiver in Braylon Edwards, but they still have some other talent there at wide receiver, as they do every year. The problem for them is probably going to be their style of play. If they actually used those wide receivers that they have and that strong arm at quarterback, they probably would be a foe that would be reckoned with. But since generally the coach likes to play that rock 'em, sock 'em, run the football, old-fashioned Big Ten-style football, I think that's going to hurt them, especially when you look down the road at some of the teams that they have to play. Even when they're playing Notre Dame early on in the year, Notre Dame has a new coach, strong offense expected. They'll probably put a lot of points up on the board. Michigan may struggle against them. They have to play Michigan State, and this year it's going to be at East Lansing. They struggled against Michigan State last year, and had it not been for the fact that the quarterback got hurt, Michigan State might would have won that game. So expect that Michigan State will be able to take it to Michigan this year. They also have to play Iowa at Iowa, and Iowa's a very tough team. And who knows, by the end of the year, what kind of team Michigan will be and Ohio State will be, but I'm sure that last game there, November 19th, will be a good one.
Who do you think is going to be the national champion?
Well, we were talking about this earlier. As far as the easy side of the schedule, you've got to go with Purdue. They don't have to play anyone tough in the Big Ten. So they finish the Big Ten out strong and win the Big Ten, they got to be in the national title game with one loss or zero losses. Granted, that's probably not going to happen. You've got to look at USC since they've been there several different times. Their quarterback has returned again, so they should be very, very strong. Of course, you've got Oklahoma, who's been strong. You've got a new coach down there at Florida that's probably going to put up some big numbers. But really, I think you've got to go with USC. They've been there, they've done it, and they returned their quarterback.
Sounds good. Once again, this is PC Podcasting. You can see all the links that we've talked about, or maybe even some that we haven't talked about, on pcpodcasting.blogspot.com. Go to the August 16th post, and thank you once again.